Hey there, and welcome to a deep dive into something I find really fascinating, social mobility. Specifically, when it comes to education.
Okay.
The whole idea of do your parents' education level, does it impact your own chances of, clustered educational ladder?
Yeah.
We're going to be digging into some European research that challenges a few stereotypes, I think.
That's right. We often hear about, the American dream or the lack thereof these days, but this research suggests that Europe has its own complex story to tell when it comes to, who gets access to higher education.
Exactly. And Kev, the research we're diving into today uses a term that sounds like it's straight out of a 1920s novel, the educational Great Gatsby curve. It's pretty catchy, right?
And just like in Gatsby's world of lavish parties and kind of hidden inequalities, the research suggests that Europe is grappling with a growing divide in educational opportunity. But more on that a little bit later.
I am so curious to unpack that, but first let's set the stage. So our listener today is particularly interested in whether Europe is becoming more like America in terms of social mobility, at least when it comes to education. And luckily, we've got a fantastic research paper to kind of guide us on this journey.
Absolutely. The paper is by Turull and Ostunala, published in 2019,
Okay.
and it's titled Intergenerational Educational Mobility in Europe.
Catchy.
Yeah, don't let the title scare you away. It's actually a really fascinating read.
I have to admit, I was a little intimidated at first, but you helped break it down for me. And one of the things that struck me right away is that they didn't just look at Europe as a whole, they dug into the data for 34 different countries.
Wow.
So we're talking some serious, granular insights here.
That's exactly what makes this research so valuable. It allows us to move beyond those kind of broad generalizations about, quote, European social mobility and really see how these trends are playing out in very different social and economic contexts.
Okay, so before we get lost in the weeds, let's start with the big picture. What's the overall trend in Europe? Is it getting easier or harder for someone to get a good education if their parents weren't highly educated?
Well, the research paints a picture that's a little complicated, but here's the headline. Overall, Europe is becoming more like America in the sense that social mobility, at least when we're measuring it by education levels, is declining.
More like America, you mean, more stuck. Like where you start out in life has a bigger impact on where you end up.
Unfortunately, yes. But there are a lot of nuances to consider. It's not a uniform trend across the board.
That's what I find so intriguing. Even though there's this kind of general trend, it's not happening at the same pace everywhere, right?
Exactly. For example, Mediterranean countries like Spain, Italy, Greece, they actually saw some of the biggest improvements in social mobility over time.
Interesting.
They were starting from a point where educational stickiness was really high, meaning your parents' education level was a very strong predictor of your own.
Okay, so it was harder to break out of that cycle if you weren't born into a family that, prioritized education, put a high value on a degree, all of that.
Right, but despite that initial disadvantage, they made significant strides, almost like they were playing a game of catch up with other parts of Europe.
That's kind of inspiring, actually. But if the Mediterranean countries were playing catch up, what was going on in those countries we often think of as being super egalitarian, like the Scandinavian countries?
Right.
They must have been way ahead of the game, right?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? And in many ways, they were. They've consistently scored well on measures of social mobility. But what's fascinating about this research is that it reveals a more complex picture than simply saying Scandinavia has always been a utopia. They actually experienced a bit of a U-shaped pattern in their mobility over time.
A U-shape. That's unexpected. What's going on there?
Well, it seems like a lot of their initial gains in mobility, particularly for people born in like the 40s and 50s, came from improvements in access to basic education for everyone.
Yeah.
More people were getting a basic education, which of course is fantastic. Everyone deserves a solid foundation.
Absolutely. That's like the cornerstone of a fair society.
Precisely. But as more and more people achieved that basic level, the researchers noticed an interesting trend. The stickiness at the very top started to become more apparent.
So even though they were doing a great job of kind of lifting everyone up to a certain level, it was still harder to reach those upper echelons of higher education if you weren't from a family that had already done so. Almost like a traffic jam at the university level, you could say.
Exactly. So even in the Nordic countries, which are often held up as, these models of social mobility, the journey hasn't been completely smooth sailing.
So we've got the Mediterranean countries playing catch up and the Nordic countries facing some unexpected roadblocks. What about the rest of Europe? Where do they fit into all of this?
Well, the researchers, they grouped the remaining countries into two categories, post-socialist countries and what they called kind of vaguely the rest of Europe.
Okay, so let's tackle those one by one. What's the story with the post-socialist countries? I imagine their journey has been pretty unique, to say the least.
You're right about that. These are countries that underwent massive societal transformations in the late 20th century, many of them joining the European Union later on. And according to this research, they actually saw their social mobility decline over the time period studied.
Wait, so things were actually getting more difficult for people to climb the education ladder in those countries? That seems counterintuitive.
It does on the surface. And it's important to remember that this data only goes up to the 1980s, so it's hard to say definitively what's happened more recently. But during that period of rapid change, it seems like some of the systemic shifts might have inadvertently created new barriers to higher education for certain groups.
That's a good reminder that progress isn't always linear. Sometimes things get a little messy, and it takes time to find a new equilibrium.
Exactly. And speaking of complex pictures, the rest of Europe category was, as you might expect, a bit of a mixed bag.
So we're not talking about a single clear trend there, more like a patchwork of different experiences.
Exactly. Some countries in this group saw improvements in social mobility while others remained relatively stagnant. But overall, their story was closer to the European average, which, as we discussed, is a slight downward trend in mobility.
Okay, so definitely not as straightforward as we might have assumed. It seems like Europe as a whole is facing some serious questions about how to ensure that everyone has a fair shot at a good education, regardless of their background. But I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg, right?
You know it. This research goes way beyond just looking at whether your parents went to university. They dive into some really nuanced factors, like what happens if one parent is highly educated and the other isn't?
Oh, interesting.
Does that less educated parent still have an impact on your educational trajectory? And get this, they even found a fascinating gender reversal when it comes to educational attainment.
Wait, what? A gender reversal? You've got to tell me more about that. But I think we should save those juicy details for after the break. Our listeners are probably ready for a mental breather after all those statistics.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be back soon to unpack those intriguing nuggets. Welcome back. I'm sure some of you listening are like, wait, what on earth does the Great Gatsby have to do with education in Europe?
Right. Like when I first heard that phrase, I thought we were about to take a detour into like 1920s American literature. But it turns out this educational Great Gatsby curve is actually a pretty powerful concept.
It is. You've probably heard of the income version of the Great Gatsby curve, right? The idea that in countries with high levels of income inequality, it's harder for people to move up the economic ladder. Like if you're born into a poor family, you're statistically more likely to stay poor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like the American dream, but in reverse. But how does education fit into all of this?
Well, and this research suggests that the same dynamic applies to education. They found that in European countries with a big gap between those with high levels of education and those with very little, it was also tougher for people to achieve a higher education level than their parents.
So if your family didn't have like a history of going to university, your odds of being the first one to break that mold were lower in those more unequal countries.
Yeah.
Almost like being stuck in a rut, just like with income.
Exactly. And to kind of measure the stickiness, the researchers used a fascinating metric they called relative high education prospects. Basically, it looks at how much your chances of getting a university degree change based on your parents' education.
Okay, so let me see if I'm getting this. In a country with relative high education prospects, it wouldn't matter as much whether your parents went to university or not. Like, your chances of getting a degree would be pretty good either way.
Precisely.
Okay.
But in a country with low W relative high education prospects, your parents' education would have a much bigger influence on your own path.
And what they found is that these low relative high education prospects, this idea that your parents' education like really dictates your own, tends to go hand in hand with high levels of educational inequality in a country. It's like that Gatsby connection, more inequality, less social mobility.
Exactly. And what makes this research so compelling is that it's not just some abstract statistical correlation. It reflects real-world realities that impact people's lives and opportunities in very tangible ways.
It makes you think about those countries we often see as, like, you know, having more social mobility. Are they doing something different to kind of break this cycle? Or are they just delaying the inevitable?
That's a question worth exploring further. And speaking of exploring, remember those intriguing nuggets we mentioned before the break?
Oh, yes, like that point about how even if one parent is highly educated, the other parent's education level can still have a significant impact.
It's true. The researchers found that the less educated parents' background still matters, especially in certain countries. It really highlights how complex these intergenerational influences can be.
It's like even if your mom's like a renowned scientist, but your dad didn't finish high school, that could still have a ripple effect on your own educational journey.
Exactly. And it might be influenced by factors like the social networks you're exposed to, the expectations you grew up with, even the resources available to you. It's a powerful reminder that we don't start from a completely blank slate. Our family history shapes our opportunities in really profound ways.
And speaking of shaping opportunities, there was that other fascinating finding, the gender reversal in educational attainment. What's the story there?
Ah, yes. This one really highlights how much things can change within a generation or two. For a long time, across like much of the world, women faced significant barriers to education. They were less likely to attend university than their brothers, even when you accounted for their parents' backgrounds. But this research found that not only has that gap disappeared in much of Europe, it's actually reversed.
Wait, so women are now more likely to be highly educated than men, even when you factor in their family history. That's a huge shift.
It is. Of course, it doesn't mean gender inequality has like vanished from the world of education altogether, but it's still a remarkable turnaround. It makes you wonder what factors contributed to this shift. Was it policy changes, shifting cultural norms, economic factors? Likely a combination of all of these.
It's amazing to think how much progress can be made when we like challenge those old assumptions and create more equitable systems. But speaking of systems, there was one more finding that really made me think about the bigger picture. The idea that money talks, even in Europe. Like, it's tempting to think that in societies with, strong social safety nets and robust public education systems, that family wealth wouldn't play such a significant role. But this study kind of challenges that assumption,
It does.
right? It's not just about whether your parents had like a library card, it's also about whether they had the financial resources to kind of like support your educational journey. Did they have to work while studying? Could they afford extra tutoring? All those things add up.
And it's not just about direct financial support either. The researchers found that how financially secure a young person felt at age 14 also had a significant impact on their educational trajectory.
So even if you weren't technically like, poor, just growing up with that sense of financial insecurity could influence your educational choices later on.
Exactly. It suggests that these psychological factors, this feeling of having a safety net or lacking one, can play a powerful role in shaping our aspirations and our willingness to take risks.
It's a good reminder that even in countries with relatively strong social safety nets, those safety nets aren't always catching everyone who needs them. And it highlights the importance of addressing not just the the material inequalities, but also the psychological ones. But before we get like too deep into the policy implications, I'm dying to hear more about that intriguing paradox you mentioned earlier. You said that in some cases, the harder it is to get a university degree, the bigger the financial reward for actually getting one.
It sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what the researchers found. In countries with low intergenerational mobility in education, meaning it's already harder to get ahead if your parents weren't highly educated, the college premium was actually higher.
The college premium, meaning like how much more money you're likely to earn if you have a university degree compared to someone who doesn't.
Exactly. And there are a few possible explanations for this kind of seemingly paradoxical finding. One theory is that in those less mobile societies where fewer people from disadvantaged backgrounds make it to university, a degree becomes a much more valuable signal to potential employers. It's like a scarcity effect.
Ah, so it's like if everyone has a driver's license, it's not that big of a deal. But if driver's licenses were like really hard to get, suddenly having one would make you much more valuable to potential employers, even if your job didn't actually require driving.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
And that perceived value, that sense of this person has overcome significant hurdles to get here, could lead to higher salaries for graduates in those less mobile societies.
Fascinating. So it's like the system is unequal, but those who manage to beat the system, so to speak, might actually reap greater rewards precisely because the system is so unequal.
It's a complex and somewhat ironic dynamic. And it kind of underscores how these issues of inequality, mobility, and education are all intertwined in these like really intricate ways.
It's a lot to wrap our heads around. And I imagine our listeners are probably feeling like they need a moment to process all of this.
They're probably ready for a break from all this talk of Gatsby curves and college premiums.
You got that right. But before we dive into a break, I think it's worth acknowledging that this research isn't just about statistics and trends. It's about real people, real families trying to navigate a system that often feels stacked against them.
Absolutely. And while the trends we've discussed might seem disheartening at times, I think it's important to remember that they're not inevitable. Societies can change, policies can evolve, and individuals can make choices that defy the odds. But those are conversations for another time. We'll be back soon to explore some of the potential solutions, implications of this research.
Welcome back. You know, it's easy to get lost in all the statistics and trends and, you know, all those graphs and charts. But I think it's important to remember that at the end of the day, this research is really about people.
Yep.
It's about real families, you know, striving for a better future, students trying to reach their full potential. It's about those age-old questions of, like, fairness and opportunity.
Absolutely. And I think this research gives us a really valuable framework for understanding how those questions are playing out in the very real world of, like, education systems and social structures.
Exactly. And speaking of structures, I was thinking about how skillfully these researchers kind of wove together all these different threads of information. Because it wasn't just about, did your parents go to university? They dug into all those nuances, parental, educational, couple compositions, gender dynamics, the role of finances. Like, it's impressive.
It really is. They didn't shy away from the complexities.
Yeah.
They acknowledged that social mobility isn't this, like, one-size-fits-all concept. It varies across countries, across time periods, and even within families.
And what I found really refreshing is that they didn't just present the what. They also delved into the so what. Like, with that finding about the college premium being higher in countries with lower intergenerational mobility, that's not just an interesting tidbit. It sparks all sorts of questions about, like, the value we place on education and the role it plays in, you know, perpetuating or challenging inequality.
Precisely. It makes you think about the unintended consequences of our systems. Like, if we create a system where a university degree is seen as, like, the only ticket to a good life, then it makes sense that those who already have those tickets would want to hold on to them even tighter.
Right. It's like that old saying, the rich get richer. But in this case, it's not just about, like, you know, wealth. It's about access to knowledge and opportunity.
Right.
And make you wonder, like, how do we break that cycle? If simply pumping more money into education isn't enough, then what are the levers we need to be pulling?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I don't pretend to have all the answers.
Right.
But I do think this research points us in some interesting directions. For one, it highlights the importance of early childhood education. If we can, like, level the playing field in those crucial early years before those gaps in opportunity have a chance to really widen, then we might start to see some real shifts in intergenerational mobility.
It's like building a stronger foundation for that house of cards, so to speak. But even if we do manage to, like, you know, improve access to early childhood education, there are still those other factors to consider, like the role of finances. How do we create a system where, like, your family's bank balance doesn't determine your educational destiny?
Right. It's not enough to just, like, offer free tuition if students are still burdened by the cost of living, transportation, and all those other expenses that can, you know, make or break their ability to succeed.
It's like we're talking about two sides of the same coin. We need to address both the supply side, like making sure everyone has access to quality education, but also the demand side, making sure everyone can afford to actually take advantage of those opportunities.
Exactly. And I think that's a good note to end on. This research has given us a lot to ponder. It's shown us that the path to greater social mobility is complex. It's multifaceted. There's no single solution. There's no silver bullet. But I think by understanding the interplay of these different factors, education, family background, economic policies, cultural norms, we can start to have more informed and more nuanced conversations about how to create a fairer and more just society for everyone.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. And you know what? It's also given me a renewed sense of hope. Because even though the challenges are real, so too is our capacity for change.
I completely agree. And sometimes just having these conversations, shining a light on these, like, really complex issues, is a powerful first step towards finding solutions.
Well said. To our amazing listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of social mobility and education in Europe. We hope you found it as thought-provoking as we have.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
Until next time, keep asking questions, keep seeking knowledge, and keep striving for a better future.